The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick, the Portfolio Doctors.
Good afternoon. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Vick.
And we are here, as we are every Saturday, to try to help point you in the right direction to make the right, most sound financial decisions that are specific to you. Because a lot of the advice you hear out there is very generic, and it is very sales-centric, I guess. Is that a word?
I think so. We'll make it one. It's a new Portfolio Doctor's Dictionary.
We better hurry up and trademark that.
That's right, exactly.
the main goal of a lot of the media-driven, whether it's print or TV, CNBCs, those, you have to look at their sponsors, who's sponsoring the show, and usually that is really pushing what the stories are, the hot-button topics that they're talking about, is related to how their advertisers can benefit.
Yeah, agreed. And, I mean, I remember, it's funny, I had a company that was doing content, copywriting, which we sold off in the end. But I remember one of the guys working for us after a while, because a lot of the content was being written for websites. So in other words, people who own websites that want content would come to us, and we would then have a writer just write content, right? And one of the sales guys came after a while. He goes, "Wow, after seeing what we're doing here, I don't trust the thing I'm reading on the internet anymore." You know, because all of it's just made up. A lot of it, anyway, was just being made up. I mean, there is a lot of truth and things that happen on the internet. But also, I mean, it's one of those things. Don't just take everything for granted just because it's on the internet, for goodness sakes.
Right. And how often do you get that email that sounds and looks very factual?
Yeah.
And then you do a little research and find out it's all fabricated.
Don't just click on the link, because then the next thing, you're going to either get a lot of spam, or you're going to be sucked in with some virus or something.
Open a porthole that allows 500 viruses in at once.
I'm sure that guy out of Nigeria doesn't actually want to give me $100 million.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain.
I think he's really desperate, because he's reached out to me.
Oh, has he?
As well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How's that investment working out for you?
I'm going to get to that one of these days. I'm going to help that guy out.
Yeah.
Well, the markets, again, pretty interesting week, looking like the wheels were going to fall off. And then lo and behold, Thursday, Friday come around, and
based on the jobs,
everything's good again.
There was supposedly the jobs that turned everything around. Some relatively decent jobs numbers came out, like 200,000. Which wasn't bad, but the actual unemployment rate fell to 5.4, I believe, from 5.5.
Which, again, it's do you trust that number?
Correct, but it's definitely a trend in the right direction. The one interesting it's funny, because I think the market right now is running on a little bit of fumes, just from the standpoint that if you just do a real back-of-the-envelope calculation, the S&P came out and they earned, I think it was like $28 and something cents this quarter.
For the index.
For the quarter. Yeah, all the 500 stocks in the index added together, all their earnings came out to, I think it was 28 something.
Per share.
Per share. Okay. So if you just multiply that out, by four, I think when I did that, I got to $114 roughly dollars a share. That's essentially what the earnings are for the year, sure. if you just basically annualize eyeball that. It, right? Mm-hmm. If you take $114 and the index is at 2116, I think. I think it closed at 2116.10. Yeah. So if you take that and you take the 2116 and you divide it by $114, you get 18.6. That's the price to earnings ratio of the S&P 500. Now, what they normally say is that a decent range for the S&P 500, the actual PE on the S&P is about 14, 15 in there. So we're at 18.5, possibly higher, because on that earnings, that $28 that they earned, that actually was only up 0.2% over last year. So it's barely grown. I mean, right. not at all. And we saw GDP was the same, right. 0.2. So the economy is clearly sputtering a little bit. The jobs number came in and it was okay. But when you actually dug into the jobs number, it actually showed that firms aren't really hiring. They're just not laying off too many people. And the productivity isn't really improving, which means that they're comfortable with the current output level of how much stuff that's being produced. So growth going forward doesn't look like it's going to happen. Right. Plus, when you actually looked at the earnings, the increase in wages over the first quarter, it was basically non-existent, which means that the consumer is still going to be hurting, because the only way they actually can spend more is if they earn more and earnings right. weren't up. So it shows that coming forward, the consumer is not going to pick up spending in the next 3-4 quarters, which means that the supposedly the market's buying into an end of year growth
rally
because we had
holiday.
Yeah. And also the fact that interest rates are going to stay low, because if interest rates stay low, people are becoming more and more desperate and they're making more and more irrational decisions and buying into this market that's increasingly getting into right. orbit. So I just don't feel very comfortable with the market right now. Yes, it could go higher, probably will actually, because it doesn't look like interest rates are going to change anytime soon. And so although the Fed continually hints, we're going to raise interest rates, I just don't see how they can.
Well, I saw a story. It says, good, in quotation marks, jobs report is just weak enough to hold off the Fed.
Yeah, but it's beyond. Okay, so let's just take the Fed, right? Let's talk about that. Their mantra is good, a low unemployment rate and keep inflation down, right? Well, inflation, you would see inflation starting to creep in if you had GDP growth of like 4%, 5%, 6%,
right.
and you had a tight unemployment market. Well, at 5.4%, the unemployment's getting a little bit tight, but it could drop to 4% and we're still okay. So we've got a long way to go, really. But then if you look at GDP, and it was only up 0.2, and you're looking at the growth prospects for the rest of the year, and you might get growth this year, I'd say we'd be lucky to get 1.5% growth GDP. Right. So there's no inflation really. So why are they going to raise rates? Why exactly? The economy's stuttering. It's barely going, and they're going to raise rates. The only reason you would raise rates is because you're fearful that we're about to hit a big problem and we're going to need something to do when that happens. So we're going right. to, if we don't get rates up, we've got nothing to lower.
Right. You see inflation accelerating. And
yeah, but I don't see that. So I don't see this rate hike. I think it's a bunch of nonsense.
Well, they've been calling for it for 5-6 years now. So
yeah, Bernanke in 2009 said that he was going to show us how he was going to exit out of this strategy of $4 trillion. And here we are. He's already gone.
Right.
We still haven't even started getting out of that.
Right.
Well, don't believe the Fed. Really.
They unfortunately seem like they've become puppets of the political system.
I don't know if they're puppets or not. I've just never really thrown too much weight behind them. I don't know what numbers right. they look at, but they're certainly not the numbers I look
Something
at.
Something different.
Maybe if they actually went and worked at a McDonald's for a weekend, they'd actually understand the real economy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, stick around. I think we've got a great show planned. We've got a list of 10 questions to know if you're on track for retirement. We're going to break those down and see if some of them are valid or not. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk, AM 1170. The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
AM 1170 The Answer and AM 1170TheAnswer.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And retirement, that's something that people always talk about. Pretty important. We have the baby boomer generation moving into retirement. I forget what the numbers are, but every day or every minute there's
some
an incredible amount of people.
Number. I don't know. When they say they're moving into retirement, and I don't know if you even know the answer to this, does that just mean they've hit retirement age or that they actually have retired?
I do not know that answer.
Because how would they know who's retiring and who's just, you know, looking for a new job or whatever? So it's probably just the retirement age.
I'm sure it
and
is.
And what is that, 65?
65.
Okay.
Is typically what that round number that they're throwing out there.
Let me tell you, if you retire at 65, you better have a massive portfolio built up. Or live in Idaho or something like that. Well, actually, Idaho's quite expensive. Maybe go somewhere else.
But probably depends on where. You could get a log cabin.
Yeah, Montana or something. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, and the only reason I say this is because I think a lot of us have a high probability when we reach 65 of probably reaching 85 or 90.
Or even more.
Yeah.
Think about
just take 85.
As technology is going.
Oh, I know.
There's a chance 100 is going to be the norm, and 110, 120 may become commonplace.
We'll be bionic because all our joints and stuff will all be replaced with, you know, plastic or whatever. Sure. But you're just going
3D printing.
You'll go in for your like 20,000-mile service tune-up, like a car.
Change fluids.
Exactly right. But I mean, jokes aside, with that longevity, if you do retire at 65, and this is one of the premises behind this show, you've got to survive for 20-plus years on what you've set aside plus the minimal amount you're going to get from Social Security.
Correct.
20 years. So if you've got $1 million, let's just assume, and that's a very, very small percentage of people have $1 million, and you just divide that million by 20, right? What does that number come out to? 100, that's 50 grand a year. So that's only 4,000 a month you can spend. And admittedly, of course, you're going to hopefully get some return on your money.
Right.
But typically...
Right, assuming a zero rate of return.
Yeah.
Your money is going to go away.
And that doesn't calculate. All I'm saying is your rates of return now just keep up with inflation. Then you're going to do, at today's dollars, you're going to do 40 to 50 grand a year. Mm-hmm. So $3,500 to $4,000 a month, plus maybe a grand or two from Social Security. So you're all in for six.
Well, and depending on what your situation is, right? But depending on what your situation is, that could be plenty. If you don't have a mortgage, you don't do anything too extravagant, $5,000 a month can go quite a long ways, even here in California.
But don't forget that 95% of your medical bills are coming up the down the pipe when you get to like 85 or 6, right? So I don't know. Anyway, well, how are we going to get there? Because you've got a list of how are we going to get to retirement. And
It's just a list I came across on the internet. So that's why I figured let's have some fun with this.
All right.
And we'll break these down.
Then.
No, it has to be true. It's on the internet.
We know that.
But it just says answer these 10 questions to see if you're on track for retirement. And basically the first comment in here, it says more Americans are confident about retirement, maybe too confident. And here's how to give your expectations.
How are they confident?
That retirement's coming, they've got money saved.
I think, you know, maybe they just haven't done that very back of the envelope calculation I've just shoved. Because I have a person I know very well who's very comfortable about retirement. No problem, according to this guy. His house is not paid off. He's got $400,000 in his IRA. So he figures I'm good to go. His mortgage is $300,000. So if he just netted that off against his IRA, he's only got one.
Right.
Okay.
So it's assuming growth in there, and sounds like a pretty substantial amount of growth.
But then you just take that 400. Let's assume he pays off his house somehow. He sells it, and he's got a little bit of equity, so he sells it. You take that 400, divide that by 20, you're really hurting.
Right.
You know, you're lucky to get $2,000 a month, if that.
Right.
Oof.
So, well, the first question is, have you set a savings target? And by that, the question, the way it's being asked, they want to know not is your goal to have $1 million set aside by the time you're 65? It's do you have a target for saving, a percentage that you save
each month,
each penny you earn or that you come across, that you're saving at least a certain percentage of that so that you can see. And that goes to your back-of-the-envelope calculation. And there are calculators available online that will give you a fairly accurate estimate of what you need to save on a regular basis in order to, at age 65, have $1 million, if that's the ultimate goal. Because if you just put a number out there, it's much harder to achieve if you just say, okay, I just want $1 million. You need to know what the path is to get to that $1 million, to know if you're on track or not. It's not as easy as just saying, okay, I want $1 million, I'm just going to start saving money, and it'll be there, I think.
Well, I think a couple of things on the savings side. Number one, I think that you should do that for sure. Mm-hmm. But number two, if you do get the savings number, it needs to be buried somewhere. Because I know, and I'm a prime example of this. If I can see that little nest egg slowly building over there, and the next thing it's $5,000, and then it's $10,000, I tell you, by the time it gets to $15,000, I'm either going to normally I'd invest it, but other times it's like, let's take a cruise or let's go somewhere. We've got this money. It's really not doing anything. It's only, you know what I'm saying? And the next thing, it's gone.
Right.
And that was really the whole idea behind an IRA and retirement stuff, because it's like, you cannot get at it. Well, you can, but the penalties are so onerous that you really shouldn't. So that's why they set it up, to try and protect people from themselves.
Correct.
You know, and then the other thing I wanted to say is, that the average retirement or the top retirement type numbers, not retirement, sorry, savings numbers in the U.S. are around about 15 to 17%. That seems like a decent number in the U.S. In China, it's 50.
50.
50% of income saved.
Really?
And because they have no faith in the markets and they also get no support. They don't have the safety net per se. So they are so worried that they have taken this huge block of cash, as much up to 50% of their income going to savings.
Wow.
And they'll like rather live in a shack than spend money.
Sure.
And whereas here, we think that someone's going to take care of us. the question is, who's that someone?
Who is that?
No one even knows who the someone is.
Is it you? Is it your parents? Is it your children?
Well, remember, we did that study, remember, a few shows ago where we showed that one in three parents are supporting their kids, but only one in five kids are supporting their parents.
Right.
So it's not a good ratio.
Correct.
You're going backwards. That's right. You can't do that to your kids. You got to listen to our show, and then you don't have to burden them with your problems.
Right.
Yeah.
Make the right decisions so you don't have to be that
so burden. Save money.
Yes. And with that,
and then invest it.
It can be anything. And an investment strategy is part of that concept, because if you can earn something on that savings,
mm-hmm.
then it just starts compounding. And then if you're saving 10% of everything you earn and it's growing at 5%, you're getting closer to that $1 million much quicker than if you're just putting it in a bank account and just knowing that it's there and earning whatever money markets are paying these days, a tenth of a percent.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's really just...
Yeah, you see pennies get deposited.
Although, you know what? At least we're not paying to have our money in the bank, which is in Europe, in Germany, and places like that. It's a negative interest rate. So you actually have to pay to give them your money. Imagine that. You give them $100, and when you go to draw it out, it's $99.50. Because it's like...
Fair.
Yeah. The interest rate was minus 0.5%.
So the reality is everyone's got their money under their mattress.
Might be a good
Germany.
Day. We should go over there and put like black masks on and go house to house. See
just
what
go
we
flipping
can...
over mattresses.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, the next point is, are you making the most of tax advantage savings plans? We kind of already touched on that with retirement. That should be one of your first places, just for the reason you stated that it is more difficult to get that money. And if you are truly trying to save for retirement, you want to make it as challenging as possible to get that money. So the likelihood of you just looking over and saying, hey, there's $10,000 in that account. Boy, I'd like to go on a trip. Let's just use that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to want to take that out when they're going to penalize you.
Yeah, and we had a show about the Roth versus the traditional IRA, mm-hmm. and we went into much detail about which is better and when to use it. And we actually talked about a strategy, how to maximize your withdrawals. But don't get caught up, for those listening that maybe don't have an IRA, don't get caught up in should I do a Roth, should I do a traditional, and do nothing. Just pick one and do it, just right. to get started. I mean, in all honesty, some are better than others in certain situations, but none are bad. Right. Just get started.
Exactly. Either of them can be very good.
Correct.
So, The next one, have you gauged your risk tolerance? And this...
Mine's still off the chart. What?
But this is one
what
where...
What does
I,
that
I,
mean?
I don't,
tell us what that means.
There's a lot of companies, a lot of people have put out questionnaires to gauge how much risk you're willing to take with your money.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people 100% of the time, even from the point they were 10 years old... didn't want anything to happen with any of the money that they've earned. They didn't
Correct.
Want to take any chances with it. So their risk tolerance is very, very low. Where there's other people that from
Vegas.
That same age, right, want to go to Vegas, throw it out on red or black, and just try to double it immediately.
Yeah.
And so there's everything in between. There are people everywhere up and down that whole range. So you need to get a good view of that. One of the best ways to really gauge it, because I've talked to a lot of people over my career that say, oh, I'm open for risk. I want to take as much risk as I can to grow it. And I'll just ask a simple question. I say, okay, you're going to start. You're going to give me this $100,000. We're going to meet again in a year. And when we meet again in a year, I'm going to sit with you and I'm going to say, what do you want to do with this $60,000 that you have invested with me? And they look at me like with this panicked, scared look. And that's the purpose of the question. You're telling me that you're willing to take a lot of risk, but this is the reality. We could have 2008 happen all over again. We could be invested perfectly to what you've told me, and you could lose 40 or more percent. How is that going to feel when you only have $60,000 next year? And I say, do we want to follow the same path or do we want to change? And that changes their view to where they really... It hits home of, are you truly risk tolerant or are you a little concerned about losing
money?
Well,
I guess the thing with that equation is if you put that 100 grand in and at the end of the year when you said you're going to give them back 60, if they had the opportunity to get back a million, I would take that investment.
Absolutely.
But if the opportunity was to get back 110 or 60, so you've got to, this is where the evaluation of the risk comes in as well. I think it's hard just to say, I can handle risk. I think people have to understand that it's more than that. They actually have to understand that there's certain points in time you need to take risk.
Risk,
make
reward.
Certain that the reward's there so that for the risk you are actually taking.
Right.
Otherwise, definitely don't get involved in that.
Absolutely. Well, when we come back, we'll try to get through the rest of these. We typically have a hard time getting through a whole list, but we'll do our best today because we think these are very good points. You are listening to the Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
This is AM 1170, The Answer.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Intelligent, conservative, AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick. And you obviously didn't die.
I made it. It's a small swig of water and I could speak again.
You're like a rugby player. They just throw some water on their head and back in they go.
Back out. Perfect. Yeah. In another life, I must have been a rugby player. today, we're just talking about different ways to gauge retirement if you're ready for retirement, because it is such a large number of people that are getting to be of the retirement age. Mm-hmm. We've had entire shows where we talk about what does retirement mean, and it's something different to everyone. Like, I honestly see myself doing what I'm doing many years beyond 65,
right?
Provided I still have my wits about me, which who knows how that is. And I know you feel the same way.
Right.
I enjoy what I'm doing so much. I almost feel like it's not work. It really isn't, because
right.
I enjoy doing it so much. And I know you feel the same way.
Right.
So you do have to define what retirement means to you. Maybe it just means you work a little bit less, but you still want to work to have something to do to keep your brain functioning properly.
Right.
Or maybe there's another career that you've always been interested in.
Or maybe for the first time in your life, you actually do what you like.
Right.
And so it doesn't feel like work, but if you can monetize it, then...
Right.
You actually, that's really what you should be doing right now.
And maybe that's it. Maybe you're working a job you kind of like, but not that much, and you're looking forward to retiring and not having to get up and go punch a clock. but there's something else that you're interested in,
right,
that can affect your planning. If there's something you can go make two-thirds of what you're making now, but really, really enjoy it to where it doesn't feel like work, that makes it a lot easier to meet your obligations. Mm-hmm. If you're still making income plus saving along the way, then that whole scenario of you have $1 million and it runs out very quickly. If you're making money and you're not needing to spend that $1 million, then that allows that to go much, much further.
Right. Agreed.
So these next two, number 4 and 5 on this list.
This is it? Yeah. How many do we have?
We have 10. So that's why I'm trying to lump these. We only get number four and five? Yeah, I think we may have a hard time getting past these two because this is something that we discuss regularly.
Right.
Number 4 is, do you have the right stocks and bonds mix?
Mm-hmm.
Number 5 is, do you have the right investments? And this really gets into what you see on CNBC all the time, what you see in publications of, oh, for someone of this age, this is what you have to have in order to be successful.
Well, I'll give our listeners an insight. My stock to bond mix, well, I've got no bonds, and I've got 0.1% of my net worth in stocks. Is that the right mix? Or is it supposed to be 60-40?
I think you might be a little light on the bonds.
But I mean, that's seriously my positioning right now, because I don't trust the stock market. I think the downside's too heavily skewed to any movement to the upside. Plus, I think it's manipulated. And B, the returns you're getting in the bond market are just next to nothing.
Correct.
So I am invested in things outside of the market, earning a very, very nice return on my investments with minimal to limited amounts of risk, and actually achieving what my target rates of return are without just being the run-of-the-mill stocks and bonds. I mean, Right. Seriously, look at the stock market. We just mentioned earlier how it is in comparison to its normal range, with no growth prospects coming in terms of earnings, so it's going to get higher. And then B, what you want to go and earn on a 10-year treasury, you want to earn 2%. That's barely even keeping up with inflation. It's not, in fact. My inflation rate's way higher. Right. So, and we've talked at length about that in terms of your personal inflation rate. And mine's higher than 2%, so I'm going backwards by buying bonds. So it forced me into finding alternatives. And fortunately, that's my whole job in my life, is to find alternatives.
Right.
So it wasn't a problem. But I'm just giving our listeners a heads up that you might not want to be the normal allocation in stocks and bonds. You know, really.
And there is something we talked about last week. If your goal is to beat some index of some variety, that could really be a poor choice of goals, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. Because I've seen many cases where you could just forget what the markets are doing and just set your goals based on what's important to you and never once beat the market. But you achieve every goal you've ever set out for yourself.
Right.
Where I've seen other people that their entire goal is, I just have to beat the S&P 500 because historically, if I do that, I'm going to be in great shape. And if they set that as their goal and they do that every year, but they don't achieve any of their other goals, then what quality of life did you have if you've got that a little bit backwards, in my view?
Yeah.
Where if you can outline what's important to you and map it out according to that, then really the stock and bond market is irrelevant.
Well, the next thing that I want to bring up with the stock market in particular is, how many people do you know that have made so much money on the stock market that they've got this mansion on the hill, and all they do is they just invest in stocks and they're making millions every year? How many? I can tell you right now, none of us just about know any. The people we do know.
I know of a few.
And the people that we do know will be the money managers.
Correct. That's what I was just going to say.
Managing the money and get paid to manage it.
The hedge fund managers.
But they're not necessarily making you millions of dollars. So if that's the case, where do all these people who live on top of the hill come from? Well, they've got their own businesses, or they've invested in certain things like normally properties and alternatives and private equity deals and things like that. You very seldom hear of someone who has made all this money in stocks.
Correct.
And if they do, they typically have it and then it's gone because to make that type of money, you have to take huge amounts of risks. Ask me, I know firsthand. I've done the stock trading thing for 30 years of my life. And yes, I've made blocks of money. And then I also gave back chunks. Mm-hmm. You know, fortunately, I kept more than I gave back, but it's gave me a nice start. But the future for me is not stocks so much as getting all these private equity deals I'm invested in going, because that's where the true wealth is.
Right. And like one of the things we've talked about numerous times, you see these ads all the time of these stock trading systems. Can't lose. Just buy my system and you'll make money. The reality is, if that person is truly making that much money off of their system, they wouldn't be sharing it with anyone.
No.
They would be just milking it as long as possible. So the reality is, those guys end up in good positions because they're preying on other people's senses and selling this system that supposedly works, the get rich quick, follow my system. And that's how they're making their money, is by selling the system, not by actually using the system, utilizing it.
Correct. Exactly. I mean, the lure to the stock market is you can sit behind your desk, tap a few, you know, keys with your fingers, and hey, presto, you've made money. Right. And it does happen that way.
Well, I think it's just like when you go to Vegas and you're gambling, you always see someone that hits a jackpot.
Yeah.
So you always know these stories. Like even a big stock, big company like Apple, there were people that bought it when it was at $35 a share.
Right.
That still own it. That's worked out really, really well for them. It's only probably one position. It's not where 100% of their money is.
Yeah.
But those are the stories you hear that are like, oh, if I could just do that once, it would change my life. And you're right, it would. But
they might want to sell those stocks. Seriously. I mean, because that's the other thing. Yeah, that's still a paper gain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say the same thing on the loss side. Oh, I haven't lost because I didn't sell. Well, guess what? You haven't made the money if you haven't sold.
Right. It looks good on your statement.
Yeah, I watched a guy. He took a stock from 3 to 200. He turned, I think he put 20 or 30 grand in, and it went to like $4 or $5 million. And then he rode it all the way back down to 6. So he ended up taking his 20 grand and doubling it. But, you know, at one point it was worth $6 million.
Right.
So you're not up until you've sold. Just like you haven't lost till you sell.
Well, then you also hear the other side of, oh, I can't sell it because the taxes.
Oh, my word.
That one cracks me up. If you're locking in a move from $35, which I don't even know what Apple equates to now after the split, it's probably $600 or $700 a share.
I don't know what it equals, but it's a lot. I mean, it's $700 billion market cap, so it's high.
Even if we just call it $500 a share.
Higher, I think it's
$35,
like
that's an incredible gain. Yes, you don't want to pay those taxes, but that means you're putting an enormous amount of money in your pocket, which then you can look at diversifying into something else.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be another stock. It can be other things, like you mentioned. It could be real estate properties, you name it. You could invest in yourself, which we've talked about numerous times.
Well, I'm happy to say some of our listeners are listening, because our guys in Ohio said that a couple of the listeners have actually called them and purchased properties from them and enjoying a good rate of return.
So great. That's
good. I'm glad that someone's listening out there.
That's right.
Actually listening, not just listening, but actually listening and taking it in and acting on it.
Thank you for that.
We appreciate that.
And that's something else while you're talking about that. If any topic comes up, maybe you're reading something in the paper, see a story on CNBC that confuses you or interests you and you want to know more about it, that is how we get a lot of these shows that we put together, is from answering questions from listeners. So if you do have a question, please reach out to us. You can email either of us directly, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. You can also go to our website. It's www.theportfoliodoctors.com. Well, when we come back, we'll try to get through these last few. I don't know if we'll have time, as usual, but we'll do our best to get through the last. If not, we'll get the most important ones out. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
Saying, I don't know, is no longer acceptable. This is AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
AM 1170, The Answer. Everywhere you go on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Vick.
And we've worked our way down to number six on a 10-item list.
How did we get through four and five? Oh, that was alternate investors. Okay, got it.
Yes.
Yep.
And number six, I think, is one of the more important things. It's, have you assessed where you stand? And that brings really the importance of reviewing with some regularity. You should be meeting with your advisor at least once a year, at the very least.
Right.
And in most cases, I would say two or three times per year should be a minimum. Because the reality is, no matter how good of a job you do to plan out everything, life gets in the way. Something
right.
happens. You get married, you get divorced, someone dies, a new baby comes into the picture, a grandkid, you just don't know.
Right.
Lots of things happen. You have a debilitating injury. You get sick for an extended period of time. There's lots of things that can really derail a good plan. So that really is very, very important to be able to assess on a regular basis where you stand and benchmark it against your goals, not the index.
Right.
And I think the likelihood that you'll be on track and you'll be able to accomplish your goals.
And make sure, this is something also, when you say things can change, I mean, a lot of times what can change things is you come across maybe an investment that you're not exactly sure about, or maybe you're not sure if it'll fit in your portfolio or whatever. That's a prime time to go and talk to your portfolio manager about it or your money manager. But with the major caveat of, if a lot of these guys are just salespeople, if that product doesn't exist on their platform, the first thing they're going to say is, oh, no, you shouldn't do that.
Way too risky,
or it's not vetted, or da 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 da. That you have to then ask, well, why is this? Because it's not on your platform, or do you really see that? If they haven't even had a chance to read the prospectus, or meet the portfolio manager, or actually do an analysis of the investment itself, then their advice is sales driven. If they've actually come to the meeting and they go, well, I did a review of this investment. I spoke to the portfolio manager, and this is exactly what's going on. And I think that it's a poor investment because of this and this and this. And we've already got an allocation to this type of strategy over here. Don't forget, we're here and there. And I've reviewed it against that investment, and I think that where we are currently is a better alternative than the one that you're proposing. Now that's a proper portfolio manager.
Right.
Because they've done research, they've analyzed it, they're actually giving you an honest opinion versus, oh, no, you're crazy, you shouldn't do that. And you've only just told them what the name of the investment is.
Mm-hmm.
So be very careful with that. But if that's the first, if the person says, don't do it right away, it's probably a good idea to look somewhere else.
Right.
All they're doing is charging you a fee for nothing.
Sure.
So that's my two cents.
I think I'll go now.
<You're
done? laughs> So then the next one, have you done any lifestyle planning? And that's one where we kind of already talked about.
What is that exactly?
Look into the future and see what are your plans for retirement? What are you going to be doing? Are you going to work a little bit part-time? Or are you not going to work at all? Are you just going to go fishing or golfing or some other activity, hiking, whatever you might like doing, traveling? And really map that out. Get a clear picture of what you think you're going to want to do. The likelihood is you'll do some of what you think you're going to do, but again, life gets in the way. You just never know exactly how it's going to play out. But you can have some pretty good anticipation into what you want to do.
Yeah, that's good because, I mean, and I'm obviously not a person to sit at home. I just can't take it at all. In fact, you're going to ask my wife. I mean, I'm bored within 1 second of finishing the crossword paper in the morning, you know. And so there's just no way. To me, death is sitting at home all the time. I have to have something to do. And yet I think a lot of people out there, and I don't know how many people can do this, to be honest, but they don't even think that far. It's like, I just don't want to do what I'm doing now. There's no thought past that. There's no thought to say, well, if I stop what I'm doing now that I supposedly hate, now I'm going to be what, sitting at home all day? I might hate that even more. I mean, I remember way back when I was traveling around the world and I got to London and for 3 weeks I couldn't find a job. And so I was literally just sleeping on the couch in someone's house and I couldn't afford really to almost eat. So I couldn't go out, right? So I literally was sort of stuck in that house trying until I got a job. I tell you, those 3 weeks almost drove me insane.
Yeah. I'll bet.
Because I wasn't doing anything. And then when I got a job, it was a menial job. You know, I think, what was I doing? I was doing gardening and I was raking leaves and stuff in London somewhere for like £4 an hour. But that was so exhilarating just to be outside. Yeah, and I knew I was being way underpaid, but who cared? It was better than sitting at home.
Sure.
So the point I'm trying to make is when people think, what's retirement in this lifestyle thing? Make sure it's not just, I just don't want to be in this job. Make sure that the thought process is, this is what I want to be doing. Can my retirement support that?
Right.
And because sitting at home, I don't know, to most people, I'm assuming it's not the actual thing that they're really looking forward to do in life, sitting at home all day.
Well, a good example, I have a client who retired probably about 6 or 7 years ago now, and he lives in a desert area during the winter months, and he really enjoys fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And while he's out in the desert area, he fishes 5 to 6 days a week, which to some people that might drive him crazy. Other people, they might say, well, that's not enough.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, but that's quite a bit. I enjoy fishing a ton, but I don't know that I could do it 6 days a week.
Maybe you could for a week.
Right.
But when you think about, and it's next week, and it's next week, and it's next week, suddenly it loses its luster.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then the other part of the year, he goes up to Oregon and lives up there.
Fishes.
And he fishes again. Yes. He fishes for different varieties of fish, salmon up there. But he and his wife, they're very active, same thing, where if he's not going to go fishing, they get out and they hike around, they explore. They see all kinds of fun things.
Yeah. No, I mean, you've got to have some backup somewhere, right?
Sure.
Because it's not going to be perfect fishing weather all the time.
Correct.
There are going to be days you're going to have to fill the gaps.
Right.
I'm not too good at that.
Yep. Then let's see. Do you have a plan B is point number nine. I'll skip over. Have you checked your Social Security options? Most people get those mailers regularly, so you know or have a pretty good idea what your Social Security will look like.
Nothing and next to nothing.
Yes. But plan B, do you have a backup plan? Because, again, life gets in the way. It could change. You never know. You could retire. Next thing you know, you get in a car accident. Now you were planning on running marathons, and you've damaged a leg or an ankle and mm-hmm. you can't really run any longer. Mm-hmm. So you need to have a backup plan. And then the last one, number 10, I think is very important. Do you need help?
We all need help.
Right. It's not do you need someone to work with you 100% of the time, but at least to give you guidance, point you in the right direction.
I'll give you a classic example. I've been in this business for 30 years. I know a heck of a lot about investing, but I don't know even close to enough about insurance and life insurance. I study up on it even to this day, but I'm not a life insurance person. So there's just one example of I'm also not an attorney. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a tax guy. I mean, you know, there's a ton of places people need help.
Sure. Absolutely.
And that's just me.
Right. And that's everybody. I mean, in this day and age, there's a lot of do-it-yourselfers, and there's a lot of information out there to where you can. But even the best do-it-yourselfer is going to stumble. Like you just said, you could probably make better decisions when it comes to insurance than many people.
Right.
But you're still going to reach out and find the information from an experienced person that's going to give you the best advice and point you in the right direction.
Correct.
Well, that does it. We did somehow sneak through all 10 quickly there at the end.
A race at the end there. If I'd opened my mouth, we wouldn't have made it, folks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for listening. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Todd, great job. We're glad you're back at full speed.
And talking.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. And we'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.